Good morning. Let's try that one more time. Spring forward. Okay. Good morning. Awesome. Awesome. Welcome to everyone here in this packed sanctuary, and welcome as well to those who are joining us on Zoom this morning. This is a special service as we welcome the Rockaway Mennonite Collegiate Senior Choir this morning, along with Jeff Enns. Give a wave, Jeff. Yeah. Senior or director and choir director and music teacher at Rockaway, as well as vice principal Stephanie Oliverio. Give a wave. And Sherry Weidman, director of admissions from Rockaway. And there's many families and friends as well who have joined us to see your choir members. So thank you and welcome for joining us. It's special to have you here today. And I saw that wave. Thank you. Yeah. This morning, as we gather on the third Sunday of Lent, we take a moment to reflect on where we've been so far in our Lenten journey. Our Lenten journey of dwelling in dissonance. If you look to your left, my right, and you look in the windowsills, you'll notice some objects that will remind you, or for those who have not been here throughout our journey, will alert you to some of the dissonances we've experienced on our Lenten journey so far. First, we see the intertwined plants, one dead and one living, closest to the piano there, or maybe they're one plant with living and dead leaves on them. I haven't actually looked very close. This reminds us of Lazarus's death and Mary and Martha and Jesus's grief. But it also reminds us of the presence of love, glory, and belief that persists within those raw experiences of loss and grief. And next, we see the basin and towels and sandals, reminding us of the Lord Jesus's confounding action of embodying radical service in washing his disciples' feet. We heard Jesus say, "You do not understand what I have done to you, but you will understand later." And this helped us confess that while we often yearn for simple and obvious explanations about things like love and service, there's much we do not yet understand. Today, we immerse ourselves in two dissonant moments of the gospel story. The moment of Jesus's arrest and questioning about his teaching, and the moment of Peter's questioning about his relationship to Jesus. In the first instance, Jesus answers with integrity, standing up to power. In the second instance, Peter answers out of fear, standing back and denying Jesus. The focus statement that you'll see is printed on the front of the bulletin, if you take a look, reminds us of what we are to learn from these two dissonant moments of the gospel story. We all have moments of courage and fear, self-protection and solidarity with others, compassion and denial. May our worship together this morning shape us into a courageous and compassionate people. And thank you to the Rockaway Choir for being courageous this morning and joining us, especially on this early morning. I invite you now to open your hymnals, and also it will be on the screen for those who would prefer that. If you're looking for a hymnal and you want to throw your hand up, there are ushers who could maybe bring you one, so do that if you like. And I will invite Jeff Enns to come up and lead us in We Praise You, O God, Our Redeemer. a hymn that affirms God as companion and guide through the dissonant moments of trial and tempest in our lives.
We're really glad to be here this morning with you. I'll talk more about the choir later, but if we could stand as you are able and join with, we praise you, O God, our Redeemer.
I invite you to take your bulletin and open it to the call to worship, which is printed there. It will also be projected on the screen for you. And I will lead with the regular font, and you can join in on the bold parts. Confident, hesitant, maybe just tired, we come to worship, wanting to follow, but not always sure how. Embarrassed by the ways we've fallen short, we come anyway, seeking, hurting, longing, needing. We come when hopes are high and dreams are bright, when hopes are dashed and the world is not all right. We come again, we keep coming, ready or not. Here we are. Come, Jesus, come and meet us.
I'm not used to having a screen behind me, so I know what it would be like if I was about 9 feet tall. It would be just perfect. If you could take your hymnals again and turn to hymn 98. This is a great Welsh tune, so let's sing it with great gusto as all of the Welsh people would. Please stand with me once more if you're able.
All right, if I could invite all the children forward, and you're going to maybe need some extra courage this morning because it's a big group. I know it's intimidating, but where are our kids? And you can come up on the stage. We're going to stand up on the stage this morning. Can we do that? I've got some awesome shirts happening right here. I love gaming. We got Spider-Man and we got the Hawaiian, the tropical theme. Fantastic. Theo's here and there's Charlotte. Welcome, Charlotte. Hey, Landon. Hey, William. Awesome. Okay, now, maybe if we could all go along the back. Let's go along the back wall. That's perfect. That's perfect. Okay. Do you, for those who have been here for the last couple Sundays, and I think all of you have maybe, except for Charlotte, do you remember what the Lenten theme is this year, the theme we're working in? There's a word that you were learning the first Sunday with Twyla, and then we talked about it last week as well. And you remember we showed what it means by running two pieces of paper together. Do you remember that? We clashed them. Do you remember what that word was? It was a big fancy word. No, it wasn't two. The two words were clashed together, and they were, one was servant or slave, and one was Lord, right? But what was the word that kind of signified clashing? Do you remember? Sounds like dance. Did we talk about dance? The last part of it, ants, dissonance. We got it. Awesome. Yeah, and it kind of signifies that clashing, right? I think we had a dissonant chord played on the piano, so something that sounded like it was kind of clashing. It didn't sound so harmonious like the choir that was singing this morning. Well, so the dissonance we talked about last week was how Jesus was washing the disciples' feet. He was the master, the Lord, and he was acting like a servant, right? So that was the clash there. Today, there's a bit of a different clash. And if you looked at your bulletin, you saw the words standing up. We're standing up right now. And then there's another one. It's standing back. Can we do that? So how about you step forward? And let's start with standing up is going to be kind of just a real, you know, firm, yeah, posture. There we go. We're standing up. And then now we're going to kind of crouch down a little bit and step back. Standing back. Okay. Yeah, don't run into the wall. Good. Okay. So we're going to learn more about what that's all about through the story that is for this Sunday of Lent. And that story is about Peter again. Do you remember Peter? Peter was the guy that when Jesus went to wash his feet, he's like, uh-uh, no way, you're not washing my feet. Right? And then Jesus said, if you're not going to let me wash your feet, you have no part of me. And Peter's like, oh, then wash my head and my hands and like just give me a full-on washing, right? And Peter and Jesus is like, okay, that's a little extreme. Don't need to do that. But anyway, so today Peter's in the story again. And the way the story goes is that after that meal that Jesus had with his disciples where he washed their feet, Jesus got arrested. Do you remember that part of the story in the Gospels? Jesus got arrested. And Jesus had to go and be questioned by the authorities at that time. And Peter followed. Okay, let's do this. How about you all come in the corner here? So we're going to imagine that Jesus went ahead. Jesus is being questioned. Yeah. Charlotte, are you going to follow too? We're going to walk this way along. And look, we have a fire here. Don't touch the fire. Don't go too close to the fire. So this is our fireside. Okay. Now, I'm going to enlist some help here because to really get this story, no, we don't need to touch anything yet. To really get this story, immerse ourselves in the story, we're going to need to hear from someone in the audience. They notice us here, and we're all Peter. We're going to have to pretend we're all Peter. Yeah. And someone notices us. Ray notices us over there. And Ray, what do you say about us around the fire here? Were we hanging out with Jesus before? Were one of us good? Oh, what did you say, Theo? No. Why did you say no? Oh, okay. We never. Okay. So Peter did know Jesus, but you're right. That's what Peter said. Nope. Don't know the guy. I don't know him. Why do you think Peter said that? He didn't want to get arrested. Was he maybe feeling afraid? Yeah, scared. Yeah, it was a scary thing, right, to see Jesus get arrested, and then you're wanting to check up on him, but you're also scared. So he said, no, I don't know him. And then someone else, who's going to say it? Someone else says to us,
are you with Peter?
Thank you. No, Jesus. Yeah, yeah. I'm with Peter, yeah. No, we weren't with Jesus, right? No, again, a second time. And then someone else.
Are you
What do we say? No, three times. And then, you know, there was this sound all of a sudden, I think. Is it? I wonder if there's... Oh, someone's making this sound. I had a sound effect set up, but that was really good. Micah's going to get it. What was that?
A rooster.
A rooster. Yeah, and Jesus had told Peter before that he would deny him three times and then a rooster would crow. Yeah, he said, I will never deny you, Jesus. Nuh-uh. I'll even die before I deny you. And then Peter still denied him three times. Okay, let's stand back against the wall here now. All right, good. We got some movement. Okay. So thank you, Sam. You pointed out a very important part of this, and that is that sometimes situations in life are scary, right? Sometimes things aren't always easy to do, and especially when we want to stand up. Have you ever heard that before when you say standing up for someone? What does it mean to stand up for someone? If someone's getting bullied, you stand up for them. And what does that mean?
Like, helping them if they need help.
Helping them if they need help. Yeah. Others, do you have ideas? Yeah. Theo? Right. Okay. Talking to the bully, too, and saying, I don't think you should do that. Yeah. So it takes a lot of courage to do that, doesn't it? And sometimes we may not always feel that courage. And that's okay too, right? We're all on a journey. We're trying to learn to be more courageous people and to stand up for people around us that might be having a hard time or that might need compassion, right? So that's part of what we're learning today in this story, right? Let's go back one more time. We're gonna stand up. We're gonna try to be courageous in those tough situations. But sometimes we'll have to confess. Sometimes we do what? Sometimes we stand back as well. And that's okay. That's part of the journey of learning to be more courageous and compassionate. Okay, let's pray together. God, thank you for everyone here in this building. Thank you especially for these children. We pray that you would give us all courage and a lot of strength to stand up for each other and for others who need help. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can now not stand back, but you can go back to your seats. Thank you. Oh, the rooster again. I invite you to pull out your bulletin again. We have a confession poem that is printed in there. And again, I will read the light print and I invite you to read the dark print. But I have an extra added piece this morning. We just saw this standing up and standing back. So I have an idea. When we get to the line, but when we, why don't we stand for those who are able and would like to, and then we'll finish the reading standing together. So you see that, the third last line. Jesus, following you doesn't always go the way we expect. We had such high hopes for you and for ourselves. We feel for Peter. In that moment of fear when everything is falling apart, we too may find that we are not as brave as we wish. That, in fact, we are not ready to lay down our lives for anyone. But when we deny you or run from the truth or refuse our identity and potential, you remain faithful. When we turn away, still you are steadfast. Thanks. At this time, I will invite Graham, aka Peter, to come and give us our scripture presentation. Do you want a chair, Peter, or no? You're okay.
I was ready to die. You think you know yourself, and then push comes to shove. I'm not the man I thought I was. I mean, I did fight for him. The Romans came for him. I grabbed a sword and I cut off that guy's ear. But all Jesus said was, put the sword down. That wasn't what Jesus wanted. He seemed willing. He seemed ready to go. All he asked is that we be left alone. They arrested him. And we just stood there in the garden, hands in our pockets. We didn't know what to do. They dragged him away. My world was ending. It was over. I didn't know what to do. I mean, I had to follow him, right? All the way to the high priest's house. I still remember that old lady at the gate. Weren't you one of his disciples? No, not me. Well, hey, I had to get in there. Getting in was way more important than telling the truth. Besides, I was a little scared. So there was a fire over here, and I wanted to stand with fire. A couple of people standing around, and I looked. This great big guy. I realized he's one of the guys that arrested Jesus. So I was trying to warm myself, and I hear over my shoulder, weren't you one of his disciples? Who, me? Well, hey, I didn't want to be arrested. I didn't want to go before Pilate. I didn't want to go to jail. They might have killed me. Sorry, guy, not me. Got the wrong person. And right then, I walked into the cousin of Bacchus. You know the guy whose ear I cut off? Right away, he said, you're one of his disciples. No, not me. You got the wrong guy. Do you hear that? Do you hear that rooster? It goes over and over my head. And Jesus saying, Peter, you're going to deny me. Deny him. I denied him. I have failed. I thought I had this covered. I thought I was committed. Just like he said, I denied him. I am no good. I can't do this. What am I going to do? Oh, where's my boat? I'm going fishing.
We take our hymnals once again and respond with number 344. This is probably a newish hymn if you haven't known it before. It's a beautiful, melancholy Irish folk tune that sort of sums up what Peter's monologue was about. Who can stay seated for this one? Dorothy will play it through once, and then we can join together. Thank you.
It has already been such a gift to have the Rockaway Senior Choir with us this morning. And now we have the pleasure, too, of welcoming some student testimonials from Sophie and Trevin, and then some remarks from VP Stephanie Oliverio. Before you all come up, however, I wanted to say that I think our theme for today is particularly appropriate for this Rockaway visit. Standing up and standing back, wrestling with the ways we often struggle with fear and self-protection, and yet aim to be a people who show compassion and are in solidarity with those in need. These things are things that I have observed Rockaway as a community model well, in its educational model, as well as its presence in the community as an institution rooted in the Anabaptist Mennonite tradition. And so we at Bloomingdale are so glad to be able to find ways to support and stay connected to Rockaway and have you here to share with us this morning. So without further ado, come on up, Sophie, and then Trevin, and then Stephanie.
Hi, everyone. I'm super excited to be here and talk to you today about my school of the past 4 years. My name is Sophie Hopkins, and I'm a grade 11 student at Rockaway Mennonite Collegiate. I moved to Rockaway in grade 7, around halfway through the year, so I wasn't familiar with anyone, and I was the new kid. At first, I was really nervous to come because all I knew about was about any information I got out of my brother, who was finishing grade 11, so not a lot. The first day I started, it was an online class, so there wasn't much introduction to what I would actually be like in person. But once I got there, I felt immediately welcomed. This school has shown me what a supportive and caring community truly looks like. What I valued most about my time at Rockaway is the relationships I've built. The teachers here genuinely care, not just about our grades, but about who we are as people. They take time to check in, to listen, and to encourage us. I've also really enjoyed being in school activities such as the various musical and plays that have been put on while I've been here. What I enjoy most about Rockaway is the sense of belonging. Even though I came in knowing nothing about the school, I quickly realized that Rockaway is a place where you are known, not just because it's a small school, but because your presence matters. The feeling of connection has made a huge impact in my high school experience. It's helped me shape my faith in a variety of ways. Through religion classes and chapels, I've been able to ask questions and grow deeper in my understanding. It's not something we just talk about in class, though. It's something we practice through how we treat each other and serve our community. Looking back on the past 4 years, I'm so grateful for the ways Rockaway's helped me grow as a student, a friend, and as a person. And I'm so excited for one more year.
Hello, everyone. My name is Trevin. I'm in grade 12, and I've been going to Rockaway for 6 years now, and I'm a part of the senior choir you see today. Before my time at Rockaway, I hadn't really found a school that fit my values. I wanted a school that showed a level of high education, a creative community, and a place where I could express my art capabilities. And I'm happy to say Rockaway really does have all of those things. From transportation tech and working on cars, to making food and family studies, and math, you really do learn everything. And the arts program is everything I could personally have hoped for. I've been able to develop myself as an artist and perform at a performer, and at Rockaway I've been able to hone my craft as a performer. And I'm excited to take what I've learned from Rockaway into my post-secondary going into musical theater. In recent months, I've been working on a benefit concert called Night of the Stars. This event is in honor of my dad, where all the proceeds go to Make-A-Wish. I bring this up because without Rockaway's support, this event is not possible. They've provided me with their auditorium, with all their tech services, and they've been truly a massive help. It shows that Rockaway really does believe in their students and will believe in you. I had a meeting with our principal, Mr. Hill, in September about this, and he said to me, "I like this. This is cool because you're doing something different and you're taking your grade 12 year and you're going out there and doing something amazing with it." And from that, I've been able to raise money. It's been incredible. And so truly, Rockway believes in their students. And when it comes to the community at Rockway, it's easily the best part, in my opinion. Everyone is so welcoming and kind at Rockway. And the best way I can describe it is Rockway just feels so warm. When you enter the building, everyone's just there to greet you. I remember the first day I was there, I walked in very nervous. It was COVID and you had the mask and everything. And someone just looked at me and said, "Hey, have a good day." It's as simple as that. And my faith, it hasn't always been concrete. I've had ups and downs in what I believe in and my connection with God at times. But I will say, the word blessed comes to mind when I think about my time at Rockway. From the laughs to the cries and everything in between, I'm grateful it could all be shared with this incredible community. And now I want to leave you with a quote from a Turkish proverb. "Good people are like candles. They burn themselves up to give others life." I want you to take a second and reflect for a moment on who your candles might be. I'm happy to know that I found mine, and I hope that you'll be able to find yours or have found yours. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everyone. It is really great to be here. I am truly, really honored to be bringing greetings from Rockway and to share a little bit about what's happening in our school community. As I work my way towards the end of my second year as vice principal, it really is a privilege to serve in this community with such capable people like our principal, Josh Hill, with Sherry, the rest of our admin team, faculty, staff, and of course, students. This morning, I want to share a little bit about our chapel theme and how we endeavor to lean into it at our school. Our chapel theme for this year and next year is based on the acronym ACTS: Action, Connection, Togetherness, and Service. It's rooted in Romans 12, verses 6 to 8, which says, "And we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, prophesy according to the measure of the faith you have. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouraging, then encourage. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is leading, do it with diligence. If it is showing mercy, do it cheerfully." So what does this passage mean for our students? We strive for students to speak the truth, to help others, to encourage their peers, to lead responsibly, and to demonstrate kindness and forgiveness. As adults and leaders, we work towards creating conditions at school for our students to thrive academically, socially, spiritually, living into Rockway's core values rooted in the Christian Anabaptist Mennonite faith tradition, which continues to be a foundation of who we are and what we do. There's a researcher named Jennifer Katz out of the University of British Columbia, and she talks about schools in this way. She says schools are often a place of stress, marginalization, and isolation, rather than belonging, growth, and well-being. We need to reimagine schooling so that it supports whole learners. Mental health, emotional health, and spiritual dimensions are central to learning. They cannot be afterthoughts. And she says that joy, meaning, and belonging matter in education. Students who feel connected and purposeful will perform better. They will engage more, and school becomes something more than just acquiring credits. At Rockway, we believe this approach to education helps to raise up our students to lead in a responsible, globally minded, compassionate, and reflective way. We have so many activities on the go that encapsulate both Jennifer Katz's words and our chapel theme. From an outreach perspective, we are working to serve our community in actionable ways. This past fall, our grade 11 art students painted murals for retail therapy KW Thrift. This is a thrift store run by the Domestic Violence Victims Alliance. They do lots of great work in our community. They offer support and resources for survivors and offer for their survivors to shop for free for the things that they need. It also functions as a thrift store for the wider community. This spring, our grade 9 students in the Family Studies Foods course are going to be partnering with the Gathering Place at MCEC Church that meets at the Chandler Mowat Community Center. The Snack Attack program will run every Tuesday and it will help mitigate food insecurity for youth in the community. Over 200 snack bags are being assembled by volunteers and then they'll be handed out to youth as they come home from school. This program meets a practical need and also helps build relationships and a stronger community. Over the last week alone, our schools demonstrated connection and togetherness. Here's just a snapshot in a 7-day, 8-day period of a week in the life at Rockway. So we had 3 teams participate in CWASA, which is the Central Western Ontario Secondary School Association. Our senior boys basketball team, our curling team, and our junior girls volleyball team all participated in CWASA. This is quite an accomplishment to earn a berth to this regional tournament. Our junior girls volleyball team was victorious, and we are very proud of that achievement. Friday night, our grade 7 and 8s just finished performing multiple heartwarming shows to full audiences in their rendition of Humpty Dumpty is Missing. On Tuesday night this past week, our grade 9 to 12 drama group performed at the National Theatre School of Canada's Drama Fest in Guelph. They performed a production called The Day the Internet Died. It's quite a lighthearted, funny performance. And if you are interested in seeing it, we're going to be performing it again on Tuesday at 7 p.m. at the school. That's this Tuesday. And then in the ultimate demonstration of togetherness and connection, Rockway is really pleased to be hosting the Mennonite Schools Network Choral Festival this spring. This MSN Choral Festival is a 2-day mass choir festival involving Mennonite schools located in the northern United States, as well as Rockway and UMEI. And it's been a tradition at Rockway for over 50 years to be participating. This is a wonderful experience for our Mennonite youth to come together and celebrate the shared values and choral singing. We're going to be welcoming approximately 200 students to Waterloo Region from April 30th to May 2nd. The final concert will be May 2nd at 3 p.m. at the St. Matthews Center in Kitchener. It's open to all and will feature individual school and mass choir performances, including our senior choir that is here today singing so beautifully. A new composition by our own Jeff Enns will be premiered at this event, and we hope that you can join us. The information is going to be posted on the Rockway Events page website and will also be in your church bulletin closer to the date. It's a really exciting time at Rockway as our domestic enrollment continues to rise and families from across different faith traditions are finding resonance with who we are and our vision for education. We value our local MCEC congregations like you, and your support is so important for our success. We look forward to continuing to partner with you as we support the development of the young people in our community. And you can see some of that development. I want to congratulate both Sophie and Trevin for an awesome job up here. Thank you for representing us so well. And with that, we're going to invite the senior choir, I think, up again for their next number.
While the choir's gathering, I'll tell you a little bit about the choir and about the music that we're singing this morning. As I was just sitting there, I was thinking about at graduation, people often read, "Oh, the Places You'll Go," that book. And I was just thinking about, oh, the places that I will go. I remember being at Rockway and doing church visits a few years ago, and 30-something years later, now I'm leading the church visits. So, it took me a little while to decide what I might want to do in life, but here I am as a music teacher, among other things. We've got about 39 students in choir, so we're missing approximately 15 today. And I think I'll play the postlude this morning, since the person who was going to do postlude emailed me on my way to here saying that they're sick and not coming. The first piece that we did was a setting of Anglican chant of Psalm 23 by Charles Hilton Stewart. It was written for St. Paul's Cathedral in London, England, I believe in the 1920s. It's hard to make a living as a musician in the Mennonite Church, so I actually, on Sunday mornings, I'm organist and choir director at St. George's Anglican in Guelph, and it's part of this Anglican chant tradition, which it's just very, most of us know Psalm 23 probably better than the rest of the Psalms, and it's just a very relaxed sort of way to focus the words, and when you've got just a bunch of words and one note, the choir has to listen to each other and sort of feel things. I can conduct it, but you have to listen, and it's supposed to be very simple, but it's very complex when everybody's listening to the voices around you and changing at exactly the same time. So I was very happy that we're also doing the Anglican choral tradition here. The piece that we're going to sing now is called Earth Song by Frank Tekeli. It was written in the early 2000s. It's not entirely a sacred song, but it's very much a sacred song. It's a hymn for a troubled world. I'll just read the words. Sing, be, live, see. This dark, stormy hour, the wind it stirs, the scorched earth cries out in vain. O war and power, you blind and blur. The torn heart cries out in pain. But music and singing have been my refuge, and music and singing shall be my light, a light of song shining strong, alleluia. Through darkness, pain, and strife, I'll sing, be, live, see. Peace. We have a small ensemble that's going to be singing As I Went Down to the River to Pray, which is an American folk tune. I'm sure you've heard it if you've seen the movie Brother, Where Art Thou, that sort of rocketed it to fame. And the last piece that we'll sing as a choral benediction at the end of the service is a setting of Crossing the Bar by Ronnie Arbo, who's an American composer. And it just happens to be Women Composer Sunday, whether or not you knew that, so I'm glad to include at least one piece by a woman composer. So today, or for right now, we'll sing Earth Song by Frank Tekeli.
Thank you.
At this time, I would like to invite all who would like to bring an offering to bring it to the front. So there's the plate at the front, but also children. This is the time of the service. Usually, for those who don't aren't here on a Sunday, usually at Bloomingdale, lots of coins start jangling at this point. So children, you know what to do. You're welcome to come forward to bring your offerings to the little church house there. Drop them in there. If anybody's interested to drop something in the plate, you can do that as well. And a reminder, our coin offerings going to the Woolwich Community Services Fund. And we look forward to having the group sing for us here while we bring our offerings.
If we could take our hymnals once again and turn to 830, Go My Children. And on verse 3 of Go My Children, I would say, come my children up to the front and stand so we can we'll get ready for the benediction on verse 3, okay? Please stand as you're able.
As you go, may you listen for God in the discordant melodies of your life, in the fear, in the regret, in the questions. May you give and receive grace. May you go with Christ's peace surrounding you to practice compassion. Go in peace.
I forgot I was going to ask.